How are you all doing today? All right, that's great. Maybe you're not doing so well. Well, if you're not doing so good this morning, well, you're in the right place. This is a place where you're going to find friends. You're going to find the Word of God. You're going to find hope. Let me pray for today's Word. It's going to be a good one today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that as we come together to preach your Word, Father, I just pray, God, that it'd be you speaking, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and you would just fill us with this Word today that you've given me, Lord. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you guys can have a seat as we get into the Word of God today. I want to open up to the book of 1 Kings as we read this passage. I was reading this story in my studies, and it really just spoke to me. My prayer is that today it speak to you. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning at verse 7. And let me just explain what's happening. There's a great man of God who was a prophet, and he was called to preach the Word of God. And as he's called to preach the Word of God, he's told to go to this king and simply tell this man, this king, that he was living a wicked life. So let's go to verse 7 and watch what happens here. The king said to this man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." See, this king was grateful because his life was restored and God had helped him. But here's the problem in verse 8. The Bible says, the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place." Kind of rude, right? But here's why. "For so it was commanded of me by the word of the Lord. He told me, 'You should not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the way which you came.'" So God tells this man, when you go to this king and you do what I tell you, make sure you don't go back the same road. Make sure you don't return this way. And here's the problem. As this king said, "Come with me," it's on the same road that God said, "Do not go." So he went another way. So this man of God said, "Listen, king, I appreciate you. But the truth is, God told me I can't be on this road. I can't go back to this road. So I'm going to go the other way." So he went the other way and did not return by the way which he came to Bethel. Verse 11. "Now an old prophet was living in Bethel. And his son came and told him all the deeds which this man of God had done, the words which had spoken the king." And notice this. "Their father said to them, 'Which way did he go?' Now the son had seen the way which the man of God who came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his son, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under the oak. And he said to him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.' Then he said to him, 'Come home with me and eat bread.'" Notice that. Come eat bread. What's with all these people trying to shove bread down my throat? God said, "I can't have bread. No carbs." "Then he said, 'Come home with me and eat bread.' He said, 'I cannot return with you. I can't go with you. I can't eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For God commanded of me by the word of the Lord.'" Notice he said it again. "God told me I can't be here. You can't have bread. You can't drink water. Do not return by the way you've come from." He said to him, "I also am a prophet like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water.'" There's something crazy about this because this man was lying. How many of you know people will only tell you what you want to hear to get you where they want you to go? So he went back with him. He went back. He went back. He went back. He went back with him and ate bread in his house, and he drank water. Notice in verse 23, it gets crazy. "It came about after," can we all say after? It's the only, the after part. It came about after he had eaten the bread, which God told him, don't have the bread. Isn't it interesting that only after you're done sinning is when it really hurts you? He returned after eating the bread. Notice, he came about after eating the bread and after he had drunk, he saddled the donkey for him. He went back. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way. I can't make this stuff up. A lion met him on the way and killed him. And his body was thrown on the road with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. What a picture. This lion is just mauling him to death and he dies on the road and the lion doesn't leave. The lion stays and he's like, look what I did. And behold, men passing by saw the body thrown on the road and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and they told the city. Isn't it crazy that everyone saw the man of God and the lion was on him? I'm going to go all the way to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober spirit, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring what? Can we all just roar for a second? Come on, let me hear your better. Yeah, there you go. That's an awesome roar. So he roars around like a roaring lion, looking, seeking for someone to devour. The Bible says that the devil is just like a lion. I'm going to put all these together. Just wait. You guys excited? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word. Speak now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I got to tell you this sermon. I was just reading this story for myself. It wasn't like I was sitting one day saying, man, I wonder what I can preach next Sunday. I was reading the Bible for myself. And I was reading this story and I couldn't get off it the whole week. So let me tell you what I thought about. I mean, a few years ago, we were just 1 year into our church, 1 year. And in that year, I went through one of the hardest trials of my life, one of the hardest trials in my life. And as a result of that trial, I said, you know, I just need to spend some time with the Lord. I got to leave Miami for a little bit. So I'm on this plane and I'm on my way to California. I'm just trying to ask the Lord, Lord, I just need to hear from you. Have you ever been in that place where you're like, God, I just need to hear from you? Anyone? All right. Well, I always think that when God hears you say that, he's supposed to speak right away. But as I'm in California, the whole week, I'm like, Lord, speak to me. I went through the Bible. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm praying. I'm talking to strangers. In a coffee house, I'm like, Lake, can you help? Can we just, because, you know, California is weird, and people just come up to you, and they sit at your table. And we're from Miami, we don't do that. We're not people. But this old lady, God bless her, she sits down with me. She doesn't ask, she just sits down with me, and she just wants to have a conversation. I'm like, look, lady, I'm trying to talk to God, I can't talk to you right now. But that's what was in my head. So we just start talking, and I'm thinking, well, maybe God's going to talk to me through her. But no, she was just crazy. So the whole week, I made it to the forest. You know God speaks in a forest. I'm in this beautiful mirwood trees every. I'm like, God, you have to talk here. Nothing. All week long. I'm like, man, what a waste. And on my way home, I wish I can tell you, oh, it was the Bible, it was a person sitting next to me, or none of that. On my way home, I gave up. I'm like, you know what, God, clearly you have nothing to say. You see me hurting, you know I'm struggling, but whatever, God, whatever. I'm just going to, and then all of a sudden, someone comes on the speaker and says, I hope you guys enjoy this movie. So I'm watching this movie, because I'm like, God and me aren't talking right now, but he started it. And as I'm watching this movie, I'm bawling in the end because God just spoke to me through this movie.
And I'm bawling because I'm like, God, couldn't you just help me and guided me through Netflix at home? Why did I spend all this money traveling? You could have told me this before I left. Y'all want to know what the movie is? All right, put it up, guys. I'm going to show you this scene. This is the scene that got me. And it's what I'm going to preach today. But I got to tell you, in that scene, when I was watching that movie at the plane, which I don't know why the pilot would put a movie about a plane crash, but as true as I can tell you, but you know, I'm watching this movie, and you know, it's about this man named Chuck, and he works for FedEx. The plane crashes on this remote island. He's there for years. But while he's on this island, he makes this odd friendship with this volleyball that he names Wilson. And for years, Wilson has been his one and only companion. It's who he talked to. It's who he cried with. So they were friends throughout all his years. And Chuck decides that it's time to just leave this island. So as he leaves the island and he's headed for a better life, he's going back to his old life and he's saying, you know what, I'm going to leave this island. But he takes Wilson with him. But we caught it there that somewhere between the island and his home, Wilson falls off the raft. And as Chuck just tries to get him, this is a scene that grabbed me. Because Chuck gets off the raft, he's swimming towards Wilson, and as he's swimming towards Wilson, the raft is leaving. So then he's left in the middle, and he has a decision to make. Do I go get Wilson and leave my raft, or do I leave Wilson and get back on my raft? There comes a pivotal moment where he's grabbing onto the raft and he's looking at Wilson. He's looking at the raft. He let go of the raft for a second, but then he realized, I can't let this go. And he swims back and he grabs onto the raft and he looks back and he says, Wilson, I am sorry. And no one catches this, but this is the one phrase that caught my attention. It wasn't just that he was saying, Wilson, I'm sorry. But if you watch it again, you hear it slightly. He says, I can't. He says, I can't. And that's what pierced me on that plane. Because there's so many of us that we get on the raft and we're headed towards a better life because we decided to give our lives to Jesus, and we're on this raft, and we know that this raft is going to save us. This raft is going to get us a better life. It's going to bless us. But somewhere in between the island, your old life that you left, and then your new life, you're in the middle. And you have a decision to make. Because the Bible says you can't be in the middle. So there's a life that you want with Jesus, and then there's your old life calling you back. And you're stuck in the middle because you know, this is the life I want. I want a life with Jesus. I know it's the what I need. I know it's a blessing. But then there's another part of your old self, your old life saying, hey, come back. So as I thought about that, I wondered, I said, man, how many of us have a little Wilson of our own? See, Wilson represents the things in your past you try to take with you in your new life with Jesus. See, he was grateful for the raft. The raft is what saved him. The raft is what got him out of the island. But I know that there's a lot of people that take on their old life and they try to mix it with their new life. And there's things from your past that you know are not beneficial to your new life with Jesus, but now you're stuck in the middle because you want a life with Jesus, you want to be blessed, but there's another part of you, and then Wilson, and but what about Wilson, and what about my Wilson? Wilson's always been there for me, and Wilson, I love Wilson, but there's a choice you have to make. Am I going to go all the way with Jesus? Or am I going to be tugged back and forth by my old ways and my new ways and my and Jesus and the world, and you're going back and forth. And I think there's a pivotal moment in every believer's life that God tells you, who are you going to serve? What are you going to do? Because you can't be in the middle. It doesn't work. What do you do when your old life is calling you back? You're on the raft with Jesus and you're saying, God, I know there's a better life for me. You know, the island has nothing for me. And I'm leaving this island. I'm leaving this old life. I'm leaving this lifestyle. I'm leaving this sin. And I'm going to get on with you, Jesus. But somewhere in the middle, when you're going strong and everything's great, Wilson calls. And you're stuck. What a picture of this man of God. See, I titled this sermon today, Sorry, Wilson. Because this man of God had a Wilson of his own. The Bible shows us that this man of God was, he was powerful, he was helping people, he was restoring people, and he was preaching to people. He was always at the altar, and he was giving sacrifices and praying. He had an awesome relationship with God. And as he's worshiping God, and he's great, I'm like, look at this guy knows what's up. This guy knows it's awesome, and he has a strong relationship with God. But then you read the end of his story, and he's dead. And the lion is there. I think to myself, man, what happened to him? This guy started off strong. And listen, it's not how you start with Jesus. It's how you're going to finish. Don't tell me how you got with Jesus. Tell me how you're going to finish with him when this life is over. So this man is there, and he's strong in the Lord, and he's helping people. And then down the line, you look at the end of his life and the end of that chapter, and everyone's just looking at him, and the lion has his paw on him and says, yeah, I got him. And I'm thinking, man, how did it get this bad? How did it get this far? Because this is so often the truth about so many of us. We start off so strong, we start off so loving, we start off so faithful, we start off so loyal and on fire for Jesus. Man, you're going to church all the time, you're reading your Bible, you're doing devotionals, you're hanging out with other Christians, you're serving in the church, you can't stop smiling, you don't know why. It's called a Jesus smile. You're just happy because it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So you can't understand it, but man, I just have peace, I just have joy, I just have laughter, I love going to church. Y'all remember a time that you liked going to church? You know, Pastor, I still do. Yeah, with this face. Please, you don't like church. So we're saying, man, what happened to them? I'm thinking, I look at so many people's lives and people that I know. I said, man, these people were on fire for Jesus. And it's almost like the devil has them. The lion just has them. And says, yeah, I did this. Oh, yeah, I got him. Yeah, I got her. And I read this story and I said, how did it get this far? How does a man of God end up killed by the lion? And it's simple. It's so simple, it's dumb. He went back. He went back. Say it with me. He went back. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, he went back. He went back. He went back. That's it, Pastor. That's all he did. I wish there was more. He went back. He ate some bread. That's it. What are you saying? He went back and ate some bread. Forbidden bread. It's crazy how the devil gets us. You know, sometimes we think, man, the devil is so clever. No, he's not. Oh, he's so sneaky. He has a plan to catch you. Listen, you know what the devil says? It's simple. I just got to get you back. I just got to get them back to where they used to be. I just got to get them back to that old lifestyle. I just got to get them back with them and those people. I just got to get them back. Back on the road they used to walk in. That same road that God said, that ain't you anymore. You got to get out of that path. And the devil says, no, you don't. Just go back. And he started off strong. He's like, okay, God, I got it. No bread, no water, no pachanga. Got it. So he's on the road. He's on the road. He's on the right road. He's on the right path. So he's walking on this path. Everything's good. He just delivered this king. He felt the power of God. Have you ever been in that moment that you and God are like this and you're on the right? You know you're doing good. You know?
Yeah.
All right. You're like, man, I'm not perfect, but I'm close to it. And you're on the right path, and the king comes and says, hey, why don't you come back? And he's like, nah, I'm not going back with you. It's easy to say that because the king was a wicked guy. So he's like, all right, fine. So he's going back on the right path. He's on the right road. He's doing it right. He's obeying God. And all of a sudden, this other guy comes along, and he says, hey, why don't you come back? He's like, I can't. He's like, oh, I know you can, but hey, you know God talks to me too. And you know God tells me, I'm a man of God too. You know, because the worst people for your life aren't going to tell you they're bad for you. They're not going to tell you, hey, you should come with me. I'm going to lead you astray. I'm going to mess up your life. But hey, the bread, awesome. No one tells you the truth, their motives. Oh, but they look so godly. You know, ladies, if you're single, don't listen to that fool that says he loves God. You got to observe him. Watch him. Look at how he treats his mama. Look at how he treats God. Look at him and watch him closely because that might be your lion. His paw's on you. Yeah, I got you with these abs. I got you with that personality. Oh, all he had to tell you was, I love God too. This guy didn't pray about it. This guy didn't seek God about it. He said, oh, you know God. You too. You, Christian, too. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. You know, you sure you heard from God? Oh, yeah, I heard from God. Well, it must be true. So he goes back on the same road. And after that, awesome bread. Because sin is awesome during. At the moment, you're like, yeah! This bread is so awesome. Once it was over, and he's going back, and he's on the wrong path. The lion got him. I don't know what your bread is, your Wilson is. You know what the truth is that he's on the road. You know, I believe that God, it wasn't that he didn't want him to have bread. It wasn't that God didn't want him to have fun. We have to stop this idea that God is a killjoy. You can have fun because you're serving me now. You know why God told him, don't go back because God knew there was a lion there? That's it. And it's crazy that God told him not to do it because he loved them and was protecting him. The things that God tells you, stay away from. Don't go back to that. Don't do that. It's not that God is saying, I don't want you to enjoy life. God is joy. He is life. But he said, it's just, I know what's going to happen. I know what lies ahead. I know the lion that's there. And I'm just trying to get you to avoid that because I love you. You're like, no, God, but I love bread. But God, I love Wilson. I just can't. And you're torn in the middle. So he had his bread and the lion had him. Go ahead, church. Have your bread. But then the lion will have you. He's just going back to it. Let me tell you, the lion that is Satan is always on the wrong road. You'll always find Satan where you don't belong. If you're on the right path, there's no lion. If you're on the right journey, there's no lion. But man, if you're in the wrong path and you're hanging out with the wrong people and you're in the wrong places doing the wrong things, there's the lion. And I'm tired of seeing too many great godly men and women with such potential on the wrong path, and the lion has got you and saying, you see, I got her. I got him. And all I had to do was get them to go back. Just go back. So you're stuck like chalk. Literally, you're stuck like chalk. You're in the middle. And you're saying, man, God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I got off that island. It's not even about the island anymore. But God, there's some things I took with me from the island. That God says, I can't come with you to where you're going. There comes a point in every person's journey with Christ that there's things that started off with you that God said in the middle, you can't take that with you anymore. It's a matter of how serious, how close do you want to be with Jesus? If you want God to do amazing things for your life, if you want God to show up in an amazing way, if you want God to bring radical transformation in your life, if you want to reach your full potential in the Lord, wanting it is not going to give it to you. There are certain things you have to say and there are certain things you have to commit to and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that anymore. I'm sorry, I can't go back with you anymore. I'm sorry, I just can't. And you journey with the Lord. Can I tell you how many people in the Bible with such great potential and such great love and God could have done so many great things in their life and they were simply destroyed because they went back. You know, I thought about this woman who was married to a man named Lot. Lot's wife was in a city called Sodom and Gomorrah, known as Miami Beach. It really is. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible, I mean, it was really, when you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, it was bad. These angels, they were in the form of a man, and they went to visit Lot's house, and there were these people banging at the door saying, hey, where are those men at? We want to have relations with them. How crazy is it when men are banging at your door to have your guests? God's like, listen, Lot, grab your wife, grab your kids, grab everyone. Just leave. Leave Sodom because I'm going to destroy it. So Lot's like, got it, God. His wife's like, okay, honey, whatever you say. They're walking. They leave Sodom and Gomorrah. And all of a sudden, the one thing God told them, don't look back. Whatever you do, I got such a better life for you. Don't look back. And halfway, she's tempted. See, part of the reason so many people go back is because they're tempted. And she just looks back, just once. But she didn't know that one time was going to destroy her. And she looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt and her life was destroyed. And I look at her and I say, what could have been? Had he not looked back. So a lot of us, we just go back to our old ways and we go back to our old lives and we go back to our old habits because it's simply called temptation. And Wilson's there saying, just look at me once. Wilson's saying, come on, just come back.
And his wife said, okay. She didn't say, I'm sorry, I can't. I thought about the Israelites, the first generations. They died in the desert when God had promised this for them. We got to stop preaching this lie that God's promises are sealed and it's going to happen. No, it is not. If you're living a life of sin, an habitual lifestyle of sin, God is not going to do anything for you. So there he is. He's there. The whole generation of Israelites, they're at the desert. They leave Egypt. They leave their island. They're not in the promised land yet. They're in the middle, stuck like Chuck. And because life was so hard and the desert was so hot and they were thirsty and they were hungry, they said, let's just go back. See, a lot of people go back. And they're not fully committed to Jesus because life gets hard. And they go through so much hardship. They go, Pastor, ever since I gave my life to Jesus, ever since I followed Jesus, nothing goes right. I have marital problems, financial problems, I have kid problems, I have work problems, I have problems on top of problems. And I don't know if it's even worth it. I'm just going to go back to my old ways. You'll be surprised how many people, because of hardship, they go back. I thought about Peter. Peter, at one point of his life, he just told all the disciples, listen, I'm going back fishing. He wasn't just saying, I'm just going to go fish today. No, he was literally saying, I'm going to go back to my old life. I'm going to go back to my old ways. I'm going to go back on the boat and I'm going to forget ministry. I'm going to forget Jesus because this life isn't for me. Here's the problem with Peter. He was dealing with guilt because he messed up really bad. He made a wrong choice. The one thing he told himself and Jesus he would never do, he did. You don't understand how many people are in the church and you're living with guilt and condemnation and failure because the one thing you said, I'll never do that, you just did. So because of guilt and because of shame, you tell yourself, why bother following Jesus? Why bother trying to change? Why bother and continuing this? Because obviously, I haven't changed. Obviously, I messed up. Obviously, God is mad at me. So I'm just going to go back to my old life. That was so far from the truth. It can be temptation. It can be hardship. It can be guilt. While you're going back and you're stuck like Chuck now. You're in the middle. You're saying, I want to follow Jesus, but my old life, they're calling me back. I want to tell you the worst influence. Let me tell you the worst reason why so many people go back. Why so many people end up on the wrong road with the lion. People. Wrong influences. It's a bad boyfriend. It's the wrong friend. It's an ex. It's someone you don't belong with. It's a relationship that leads you away from God and you just go back. Because you love Wilson. You and Wilson grew up together. Wilson's always been there for me. Notice this man of God, what got him was a person that said, come back. You know how many people leave God because of people? You know, Galatians 5:7, we read it. In Galatians 5:7, Paul's writing to this church and he says, you were running so well. I feel like God is telling someone this. You were doing so well. You were running so well. Here's the next word. Who, not what. Who hindered you? Because sometimes we think it's things and habits.
But God said here, this is the problem with this church. It's not what, it's who. Who is hindering you from following the truth? Who is hindering you from reaching your potential? Who is hindering you from walking with God? Who? Who is it that's getting you to say, come back? Because this church was going back to old ways. That's what it says. Because they were listening to the wrong people. Who hindered you? People will hinder you. And you're in the middle. And Wilson's telling you, come back. And there's a part of you that says, well, maybe I can go back to Wilson. Maybe I could get back with him or her. Maybe I can get back to that old lifestyle. Maybe I can go back to that old thing I used to do. Maybe just this once I can go back. And he lets go of the raft. I don't know that someone here today or you're listening online and you've let go of God. No, I haven't, Pastor. I'm right here in church. Listen, you can be in church and still let go of God. How do you know you've let go of God? You're not who you used to be. You're not the same. You're not as passionate. You're not as loving. You're not as caring. Your attitude is wrong. Your purposes, your desires are all off balance because somewhere down the line you've just let go. But I hope, like Chuck, you realize that even though you've let go, you're not that far that you can still go back and reach it. For anyone that says, well, Pastor, I've let go. I'm too far. Listen to me. No one is far enough to be reached by Christ. And you can reach him as well. It's like when Peter was sinking in the water because he took his eyes off Jesus. Maybe you've taken your eyes off God for a minute. You've taken your eyes off the world. You've taken your eyes off the Lord and put them on the world. And you begin to sink. And notice the one thing Peter said when he was sinking in the water. Save me. The Bible says Jesus reached out. Upon you calling him, Jesus will always reach out to you. It's simple. If you want to live a life of purpose, if you truly want to experience the radical transformation of God, you have to follow Jesus radically. We've turned the word radical into a bad word. Well, that person's so radical. You know how radical Jesus is? You know how much radical love he had for you to die for you? It's pretty radical what he did for you. Why can't we be radical for him? And we're just stuck in the middle. And everyone says it. Well, I love God. I love Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to be blessed. I want to change my life. Luke 9:62. I gotta go there. Luke 9:61 and 62. This guy comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, go to 61. This guy is crazy. I don't know what his name is. I won't find him in heaven, I know that. A guy comes up to him and says, I will follow you. Here's the problem. He was talking. He wasn't walking. He said, I'll follow you. How many promises have you made to God? I will. I will change. I will leave it. I will stop it. I will say bye to Wilson. I will. Jesus, I will. I will. You know, some of you are going to go up to this altar today. He said, I will. I will. It should be your new name. You're just Will. Will. We have Wills in church all the time. I will. He said, I'll follow you, Lord. But first, let me just say goodbye to everyone at home. You know, in the Greek, when you read it, He literally came, he literally said this to Jesus, "Let me go back. Let me go back." Verse 62, Jesus left. Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand on the plow and is looking," how? Looking what? Huh? Am I crazy? What does it say? Looking back. It's fit for the kingdom of God. That's pretty radical. But this guy says, "Hey, I want to change. I want to be blessed. I want to be like your disciples." But see, a lot of times we want the same relationship someone else has with God because it's so powerful and it's so amazing, but we don't know what that person had to give up to be in that relationship. And he wanted to be just like Peter. He wanted to be just like everyone else, and James and John and Luke, but they don't know what these guys gave up. So there's a lot of people in the church today that said, "I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to change. I want to be blessed. I want God to use me." You know, Jesus never said no when he asked. This guy said, "I'll follow you." Jesus said, "Whoa, slow down. Are you saved?" Jesus never said no. But Jesus said, "All right, let's go." "Wait, what? Now? No. Now? Now. Right now. Yeah, let's go. Can I go back? Bye. I don't have time for you." And then he says this illustration to just illustrate how dumb this guy was. No one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit. You know why? Because if your hand's on the plow, you're saying, "All right, God, it's harvest time." And in order to plow, you got to walk straight. If anyone just puts their hand on the plow, putting your hands on the plow, that's not going to do anything for you. It's walking straight. So a lot of you put your hands on Jesus and saying, "God, let's do this. Let's get blessed. Let's get delivered. Let's get transformed. Let's get used. Let's get to heaven. Woo, woo, yeah, let's go." What, Wilson? No, Will. See, if you don't look straight, you ain't going to walk straight. And so many people in church aren't walking straight because... "Oh, no, no, I can't. What? My boppy came back? What? My friends are calling me to go out tonight? No, I can't. But Wilson looks good today. What, Wilson? Wilson, you've been working out. No, I can't. And if you keep looking back, your whole life is going to completely be off balance. Is this making sense today? Because you're looking back at your life, you're saying, okay, wait a minute. Are you saying I'm not fit? Yeah, Jesus said it. You want to be blessed? Great, God wants to bless you. You want to change? Absolutely, God can change you. But it's not just putting your hands on the Lord that's going to change you. It's fixing your eyes on Him. Here's the thing about looking straight at a plow. Anyone ever plow before? No? Okay. I haven't either. But here's one thing about plowing. It literally stinks. Think about it. You're plowing. You're holding on to your plow. You're looking straight. And the whole time, it's these two massive ox butts. That's what it is. You got two oxen. They're just there. And their rear ends are just staring at you. What a sight. And then they're just doing their business. And you're like walking straight. You're like, "Ah! Oh my gosh! You know why? Because sometimes following Jesus stinks. Can I say that? It's not always easy to plow straight. Sometimes, you know, plowing gets boring. And mundane every day. Same butt. Same oxen. I just want to look to the side, but I can't. See, some of you have your hands on Jesus, but you're too busy looking back at Wilson. It's no wonder your life is out of control. You got to be like Elijah. When he was called to ministry, Elijah said, "Come, follow me. Let's go." He said, "All right. Yeah, right now, right now, right now. Yeah, all right. All right." The Bible says as Elijah called him, he was plowing. Just such a boring life. Same butt. Same plow. You know what's crazy? Elijah wasn't smart. He wasn't powerful. He wasn't influential. You know, you don't have to be anything to be used by God. You just have to be committed. Did you know that? It's not about how you grew up or who your parents were. It's all about just being committed to Jesus. So there he is. He's on the plow. Elijah says, "Hey, let's go. Right now? Yes. All right." You know what this guy does? He thought he throws an awesome barbecue. You know, that's what it was. He gets the plow. He destroys it. He lights it on fire. He kills the oxen. And he makes steaks for everyone. You know, I'm thinking, man, that's kind of radical. Yes, it was. Because he was trying to demonstrate to himself, to others, and God, even if I'm tempted to go back, I have nothing to go back to. You know why you keep going back? Because you haven't burned it yet. Yes, I did. You haven't burned it. I don't know what your plow is that you got to burn, but maybe you got to change your number already. Maybe you got to break that iPhone and get back to a flip phone. If your problem is where what you're looking at, you might have to tell someone, "Man, unfriend them," or get off Facebook altogether. But, you know, take radical measures so that even if you wanted to, you can't. Are you willing to burn it? "Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I can burn it." Then stop telling God what you want Him to do for you. Stop telling God you want to change. Stop telling people, "I'm going to change. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to..." Stop. Until you're willing to take your hands on the plow and look straight. And you're willing to say, "No matter what, even if I wanted to go back to Wilson, I couldn't. Because I deleted him. Because I burned..." Don't go burning people today. That's illegal. "I don't want to be on CNN. Yes, I preach that. But they took it literal." You can't go back. You know, when people say, I wanna change, I want to be blessed." Yeah, but you're stuck like Chuck. You're in the middle. You're saying, "Okay, God, I want to be blessed. I want to be like you, but Wilson, Wilson." And you're not willing to say, "Wilson, I'm sorry, I can't." Let me tell you. God cannot do new things in your life if you continue old ways. That's a tweet. Yeah, tweet that. It's good. God can't do new things in you if you keep doing old ways. Keep going back to old ways and expect God to do something new. That's why Jesus said, you can't mix new wine and old wineskin. You can't. Because it bursts, it gets ruined. Want to know why your life is so ruined and why it's so off balance? It's because you're trying to make your life new while you still stay in the old. But the Bible says that, "Behold, you are a new creation. You're new. The old is gone. So why do you keep going back to Wilson? Why do you keep going back to old ways? You don't know the new things that God has for you if you just put your hands on the plow and say, 'I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to go back to that. No, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.'" You love Wilson. There's no denying it. Some of you brought Wilson to church. Some of you, you're preaching right now. And you're like, "Oh no. Oh no. 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 Not him. Not her. Come on, God. Not that. I don't think I like this sermon." Because you like Wilson more. And you brought little Wilson with you, and he's there in your little chair, and you say, no. But then you're worshiping with Wilson. Yes, God, I love you. Yes, God, I want to worship you. You're holding your little Bible in one hand, but Wilson in the other. I love Jesus. Oh, but there's Wilson. Do we all have a Wilson in our lives? Am I crazy? I think it's time for you to just say, Wilson, I'm sorry. Because you know, when you say yes to Wilson, you're saying no to the things of God that's better. You keep going back to that way of life, but you don't know the new life God has for you. Well, can I just be in the middle? No. You just want both. You want the hand on the plow and the hand on Wilson. Okay, God, bless me. You can't be halfway with God and halfway with the world. You know that half and half only works with coffee, not Jesus. It's the truth. So as I close with this, I'm wondering, who came to church with Wilson today? You're saying, I left the island. I left that old lifestyle. I left those old ways. And I want God to bless me and my marriage and my family and my future. I want God to bless my life. I want to be used by God. Great. You know, God wants that too for you. But you're in the middle and you're saying, but God, you know, I want to plow with you. I want to be blessed. But Wilson keeps coming back. And I don't know if I can let go. I don't know if I can say, I'm sorry, I can't. I don't know if I can stop this. You know what's crazy is that when Peter went back to his Wilson, he went back to his boat. The reason he went back to his boat is because the Bible says he left his boat, but he never truly left it. Because how do you go back to something you never got rid of? It's interesting. Because he left his fishing business. He left his nets to follow Jesus. But he never got rid of his boat. So he knew, man, if all of this fails, I can always go back to this boat. He didn't burn it. So when he messed up, he failed, wasn't living right, it was at the wrong place, at the wrong time, he did the one thing he thought he'd never do. Isn't that the story of so many of us in our lives right now? And he's in the boat, and he's trying to cast his net, and he's coming up empty, he's casting his net. What a picture of the first time he met Jesus. The Bible says he was just there, and his nets were empty. And Jesus, the first time he met Peter, said, hey, go a little deeper, cast your net on the other side. And he had a huge amount of fish. And right there, Peter gave his life to Jesus. He left everything. He put his hand on the plow and he said, Jesus, let's go. But when he messed up, he went back to Wilson, went back to his old ways. And Jesus was walking on the shore in John chapter 21. I love this. He walks back to shore. Jesus is walking on the shore. He sees Peter on that boat. I love this. He said to them, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. We will also come down with you. Can I say something? It's interesting, the power of influence, because when Peter went back, he brought everyone down with him. This could be you right now. You're saying, because of me, everyone else is falling apart. They said, we'll also come with you. They went out and got him on the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Same story. He caught nothing. And as Jesus was walking on the boat, in verse 4, he says, hey friends. I love this because, you know, Jesus didn't say, hey backstabber. He said, hey hypocrites. Hey liar. I see you. I know you see me, Peter. You denied me 3 times. It's in verse 4. Look at it. He says, hey, friends. Hey, friends. You know you'll always be a friend to Christ. No matter how far you are, how messed up you are. And then he stood on the beach, yet they didn't know it was Jesus. And he says, do you have any fish? I love this question Jesus already knew the answer to. Because he was literally saying, you're empty, right? You're miserable, right? Because you don't belong there on that boat. I got you out of that boat. If you go back to old ways, it's not going to feel you like it used to. Go back to that club. Watch how you feel. I don't feel like dancing anymore. I don't know. I don't feel it. Go back to that relationship. See what you feel. Go back to those drugs. Go back to that life. Go back. And say, man, it's not the same anymore. You know, Peter hit a reality. Man, I'm terrible at ministry and I'm terrible at fishing. Peter, you're terrible at this because you don't belong in it. Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. When Peter heard that, he was like, nah, I can't be Jesus. But you know, when Peter heard that, I know without a doubt, it went back. And he had a flashback to the first time Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. And he had a tear in his eye saying, man, I remember when Jesus came to me like that. I remember when Jesus was just everything to me. And when Peter did that and he caught all the fish, he realized it was Jesus. You know, I love this because Jesus met him. Jesus will meet you where you are. And Peter jumped off the boat and he ran to Jesus, because what we have to understand is that what Jesus was telling Peter, and did the same miracle as he first did with Peter, it's because Jesus was telling Peter, no matter how far you are, no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter what you've gone back to, you can come back to me and things can be like before. You can come back to that same relationship you had when you first met Jesus. Do you remember when you first met Jesus? Do you remember when he was everything to you? Do you remember when you were just so in love with him? If you can remember it, ask yourself, is it like that now? If it's not like that now, it's because you're with Wilson. And when Peter jumped off the boat, you never hear of him again going back. And after Peter jumped off the boat, ironically, Peter was even more powerful, more useful, planted a church, reached over 2,000 people in one sermon. How does someone so miserable and messed up become so powerful? He put Jesus back in his life as first. So stop your excuses. Well, I'm just too far. I'm just too bad. Pastor, I got my hands on the plow, but I just kept looking back. And it's time for you to say bye. Wilson, sorry. That's why on that plane I was just in tears, because I was like, God, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth planting this church? Is it worth ministering to people who hate you? Is it worth it, God? All the sacrifices, is it worth it? And I'm there at the plane saying, I don't know if I want to come back to ministry when I get home. I don't know if I'm just going to quit and give up. I don't know. And there it was like God was telling me, David, you're stuck like Chuck right now. David, but listen to me right now. Now, commit 100% to me. Don't look back and just trust me. And that day, we're here today because I told Jesus I'm looking forward. And that's why our church is called Forward. Forward Fellowship. What? You tricked me. I'm at a church called Forward because I want you all to look forward. That's it. Wait, what an odd name. Crazy name. Forward. If you're in a church you call Forward, shouldn't you be going forward? I will call this church Wilson Fellowship if I have to. If we're not going to live it. But I don't know about you, but I want to move forward with Jesus. I want to move forward to better things. I want to just say, listen, I'm going to burn the plows. I'm going to burn the ships. I'm going to get rid of everything. And I'm just going to follow Jesus 100%. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. You take it now. Break the hearts. Holy Spirit, I just pray that someone would just say sorry to Wilson and say they can't anymore. They can't go back. It's not that they don't want to go back. That feeling's always there, Lord, but they just can't because they love you too much. Father, I'm tired of seeing the lion just destroying people with potential, people with that you could have done so much with. Father, if there's anyone here in this church or anyone that's listening online and they're on the wrong road and the lion has them, God, I declare that your word says you are the great shepherd who goes after the lion to get his sheep. For any sheep here that the lion may have, I pray, God, that you would bring them back. Whoever's going back to old ways, going back to old habits and old attitudes, Jesus, break them and say, this isn't you anymore. Let us move forward with commitment now. And I pray for this church, Lord, that you would just move it forward. For anyone that wants to just keep looking back, Father, I just pray that right now they not hinder us. Church, can we all just stand to our feet right now? Every head bowed, every eye is closed. This is you and Jesus right now. I think that all of us here can say, Pastor, I came to church with Wilson. I have a Wilson in my life. I'm in the middle. I'm going back to old attitudes, old habits. I see little glimpses of the old me coming out. It's because you need to just get back to Jesus. Some of you are here and you're saying, Pastor, the lion has me. I met him on the wrong road. I went back. You're here and you're saying, Pastor, I have so many failures. I've done too many things I'm ashamed of. I promise you this, church. If you would just tell the Lord the truth and say, Lord, I went back. Tell God the truth. Say, hey, God, I like this, but I know it's wrong. And tell the Lord, I can't let go of it. I need your help. He'll help you. So as Frankie closes with the song of worship, I'm going to open up this altar. We haven't done an altar call in a while. But I believe there is no better time than now to say, Lord, as I come to this altar, maybe you're coming to the altar because you want to be with Jesus for the first time. I'll pray with you. Maybe you're coming to Jesus because you want to come back to him because it's been a long time. And you're leaving Wilson at the altar. Maybe you're coming to the altar because you have a friend or a family member, a loved one that's inside the line right now. You say, Pastor, I just want to pray for them because right now they're on the wrong road. Father, we just pray that our hearts would be open to you. So you come to this altar. And I thank you for those who you are restoring right now. And they're coming back to you. In Jesus' name, and we just say bye to Wilson. Say our sorries and our goodbyes. Because what's at stake is our future, our potential, and the greatness that you want to have in our lives. Father, give them strength now. This is a commitment. This isn't just a little prayer. This isn't just something that you're going to say, I will, Jesus, I will stop. You know that in Jesus' name, you can pray today, and whatever is hindering you, whether a habit, an attitude, a person, a thing, a lifestyle, whatever is hindering you in Jesus' name can break instantly. That is the power of prayer. Father, I leave this altar to you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come forward now. This is your commitment. You're saying, Pastor, I'm not going back anymore. And I'll pray with you right now. Give God some praise today for the power. We all join hands together, that person next. You're going to pray together as a church now. If you don't know the person next to you, just whisper your name real quick. Introduce yourself. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this service. I thank you for this word, Father. Father, I pray, God, that we would just be a church that continues to move forward. As we put our hands on the plow, may we never look back, but only forward to what you have for this church, Lord. I pray for every person here that has great potential and gifts, Lord, that you have unleashed in their lives that are holding back right now because of their willfulness and they're holding back, Lord. Holy Spirit, by your power, I pray that you would break any chain, any bondage that has them just stuck in the middle. And as they leave this church service today, may they continue to look forward, knowing that, Father, the lion cannot get us if we're on the right road. So I pray as we leave today, we go back on the right path, staying strong in our ways and loyal to you. In Jesus' name, amen.